I heard some comments about sort of the kind of marsh restoration not being a particularly viewed as a particularly suitable solution. Is that kind of what the consensus is? Or and the concern about that is just kind of aesthetic, or
you lose all water from access, aesthetic. Any ways to come over, carry trash in there, it looks like a, like a highway retention pond.
Yeah.
Full of trash all the time. Who's gonna, clean it up? These are all shorefront access. I mean, right now you can go down there and fish off the rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have a lot of people that fish off the rocks. The riprap, the changing to different rocks and riprap would enhance that. But the shoreline marsh would literally kill the people, the ability of people to get on there and fish. And here again, it's mostly the local citizens that do fish off the rocks or off the pier. The question, David, I said about a third of the people joined. We have about 200 members. That's about a third of the population, is it not?
Yeah, we have about 630 households.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I guess we've talked a little bit about access and recreational issues. What is there anything anything additional to add on that? I know we've talked about the Shell Beach and fishing and the boat ramp. Are there other?
Yeah, one of the concerns we've talked about at our first meeting was if we try to enhance Shell Beach by a little bit. Right now there's limited to almost no parking available down there. Mm-hmm. So one of James's concerns was that what are you going to do if you're not going to invite anybody down there? Well, we don't have any place to put anybody. You've got to walk down there if you luckily live close enough, or get there early to get the two parking spots that are really there. So one of our concerns is part of the plan, if we do extend it to 300 feet and enhance it, then we need to also look at something to do with cars to be put there. Otherwise, they're going to be parking on our grass. And that's, we've got laws against it because we don't want that.
And Nancy's not here tonight, but she mentioned that the street coming out of the yacht club that goes to Shell Beach, the left side or the north side is city property that could possibly be used for parking, and the east or the south side next to the yacht club is yacht club property, and she said she didn't have a problem with parking there, but that would have to be parallel because there's not enough room for perpendicular. But across the street you could do some perpendicular. And I kind of, we just kicked around maybe six or eight slots or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, nothing huge or anything, but just more than two.
Yeah.
So the consensus, there's not a strong opposition to adding any spots. We just want a controlled number, limited.
Yeah,
number.
I think we need a few more because there's only two spots, and once they're gone, people are parking on the grass everywhere.
Yeah, and the parking on the yacht club side, if it's been raining, the trucks sink right into the ground.
You have four-wheel drive to park there.
Yeah, it's gumbo and clay.
Let me ask David
tear it up all
question.
The time.
What would have to be done if we wanted to create parking on the city property there? Is there anything with the city we'd have to get some kind of...
You're talking about that is... On Baywood?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they give you some information. The property, there's 20 feet between the street and then the first lot. So that's the depth that we have there. That lot that's there, the owner of the lot has brought construction plans in, and we're building a home. And one of the things he has approached the city about is getting an easement across that property, an access easement to Baywood, so that his driveway access to the garage will be off of Baywood.
he probably wouldn't be too happy with parking along there.
He will be real unhappy with any development there next to his property.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that we, it is city property. And it is different in that there was a horse trade with the yacht club.
Yeah.
The drive that's on the other side of the fence is the original Baywood.
Ah.
So that was the city street, and we still have our utilities there, the sewers there, and that's why there's the stub where the two cars parked that you've talked about. That's Miramar. That was Miramar.
Uh-huh.
And you'd go through where the fence was at and make a right turn. Well, the fence wasn't there.
Right.
You know, and so the yacht club didn't have a way to stay on their own property to get around their building without getting to a city street to get to the other side of the harbor. So we did a land swap, and in that process, we ended up with a 20-foot piece of lot in addition to the street right-of-way. So the street right-of-way shifted, and there's that piece of property, mm-hmm. which used to belong to the yacht club, now belongs to us.
How long ago was that?
It was all officially signed off in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly recent past.
So how many cars would be able to park on that 20 feet if we did use it?
Well, I haven't put a pencil to that. I can also tell you that we applied for a CMP grant, to put a small parking lot in for Shell Beach. And that plan was to come off where the stub was at and go basically along the fence and use the topography there to drop down so the parking lot would be invisible. You would see the drive-in, but without a car in it, you wouldn't see the parking lot. And to accommodate, I think it was 5 cars, which would allow to tie in a walkway that would go to the gate that's through the fence of the yacht club that would then come down to the upper reach of Shell Beach for access. So you have an all-weather access for the groups that use that, a very small parking lot. As you know, when they have regattas, they set tents up and things along the bluff there.
Yeah.
And so this would provide a little all-weather surface for that. It would be a very limited number of vehicles, but they would be off the road. And when there wasn't a vehicle there, it wouldn't have any visual.
Right.
It would be bermed in a way that and we'd use the progeny to drop it down so that you wouldn't see that picture.
So the parking would have extended into Miramar Park?
Yes.
Okay.
Out on the grass.
Out on the
right.
grass.
Right. And it would have a small stub driveway that came in mm-hmm. that would move it off of Miramar. So it wouldn't be right off of Miramar in terms of cars
right.
backing in or out of Miramar. It would just be moved down.
Yeah.
But not very large. It's very limited, intentionally limited.
Right.
Yes. Jerry, you had a question.
Comment, probably. Did the committee ever address the pier parking to enlarge that? Or, I guess that's the question.
Yeah, come on.
It probably needs to be enlarged. As many times I've seen it overfilled, especially when boats are launched and trailers are stacked around, and everybody parks there, not just the pier members.
Let's see, we couldn't do that under this grant.
No.
Because that's private.
Yeah, I heard that part, but the parking lot is private?
It's a parking lot that we actually leased to the Recreation Association. It's a 40-year lease. What's on the land. The pier is owned by the association.
Okay.
But the parking lot on the ground side is what we lease to them.
And the parking lot is open to everybody?
No, sir.
No.
Parking lot
private
is
parking.
Yeah. The parking lot is part of the lease.
Okay.
The city has reserved the right to use it when it becomes necessary.
When there's construction or anything like that, the city uses
it. Yeah, but everybody uses it. Okay. I mean, people from LaPorte use it, and other people use that parking lot.
I monitor that parking lot of probably more than anybody else. And yes, if somebody pulls up there in the morning for a cup of coffee, I don't run them off. But if there's a lot of use, a lot of members, I will clear the lot of non-members. I do it a lot. I've got a lot of people that do not like me for that reason.
I know.
And you see, but they like my dog.
Why don't you also keep the area clean?
Is the question we're asking, would the parking lot, if we put a parking lot in near Shell Beach, would that be public? And that would be.
Yes, that would be public. Mm-hmm. And we've got room, actually, part of the lease that we have, we could probably open up another area to park four more cars, but we've chosen not to on to the northwest side of the ramp. There's a small amount of that grass that is part of the lease, but we've never opened that for parking. First place, it is so tight, it's just right about the width of the car.
Right.
You couldn't park a pickup there. So we've chosen just to leave it. Most people don't even know that that is part of the Shore Acres Recreation lease. Mm-hmm. We just leave it like it is. And the only way to go is to go to the southeast for more parking. And that's some of the prime park area. Mm-hmm. It's a problem that we need to work out with the city council, not this council. Right.
Then another question on the North Park. If you do revetment, you're going to actually remove some of the existing park to make the right slope? Because now the park is too narrow.
Yeah. I guess what I was trying to say, in general, the preference would be not to try and fill and put things on fill, because when you try and fill and compact, especially when you get in or near the water, it becomes very difficult. But that's not a criteria that I'm trying to set. I'm just saying that becomes more difficult. So I think in that area in particular, we certainly don't want to make the park narrower. If there's areas where it's already so narrow that it becomes ineffective. So there may be areas where we say, okay, we have to fill to some extent.
Now, I know the existing North Park is not just dirt. You go down 6 inches, you're hitting rock, okay?
Riprap.
Old.
So why not just add more riprap or whatever and put dirt on top instead of trying to build out with dirt?
Yeah.
Is that feasible?
Not feasible. Well, it's feasible. The question is just over the longer term, you know, what kind of foundation are you building on? Do you wind up with settlement issues, you know, or do you wind up, if we don't take out any of that concrete riprap and just try and cover over it, does it make a good base course to build on top of? Does it make a good underlayer for the revetment? In general, I'd say no, it doesn't. But that is something that we'll need to look at in this. If we're going to do borings along the length of the project, and we'll have to look at those and see, okay, if what we see is, well, we've got 6 feet worth of riprap that's all mixed in with soil, but it appears that it's actually well compacted and we're not going to have long-term settlement issues on it. We may come to an opinion that it's actually better to leave it there than it is to try and dig it out and replace it.
And then you're aware that the sewer drains and the storm drains are under the street, and actually the storm drain dripped into the park, and you don't have a lot of room really between the street and the water. Because there's drains there, okay, storm drains. So you can't be digging around and actually trying to level riprap or existing riprap and too much, because it'll be into the storm drains.
Yeah, so we will, another part of our surveying activity is the utility survey to identify all of those, and as well as David's, you know, let me know there's lots of old drain lines that came off of the old houses.
Yep.
Which are abandoned and, you know, shouldn't be really an obstacle to us, but we'll try and identify all those for as much as we can. But we certainly understand we've got to work with Harris County Flood Control District for the outfall from Bottom Bayou and work around that. And, you know, if there's also other storm drains that are running parallel to Miramar, you know, we'll definitely have to take those into consideration as well.
Thank you. You're also saying that the permitting process could be longer if we start doing something like that. If we start going to the
yeah,
fill.
The more you, I'd say the more you fill. If it's a, you know, if you say, okay, I'm adding 5 feet or 10 feet, that's probably not such a big issue. If you say I'm adding 200 feet, yeah, then it becomes a bigger issue. So it's kind of shade to gray there.
Mm-hmm. Is that also where we were looking at a wetland? The wetland area is in that narrow part because that might.
Yeah, that when, you know, to the extent we kind of had a preferred area for wetland, I think what was discussed was that north end was probably more likely to be the spot where you could build a wetland. But it would have to be protected by some type of a breakwater structure, just because it's, you know, the waves are rough enough that you couldn't hold it there without some protection.
No,
right.
Yeah.
And then you get into navigational issues of putting that breakwater. Because wouldn't the breakwater design not necessarily above the water? Or was there one design that we looked at?
No, I think we had probably laid out, I think, gabion mats, which are these rock-filled baskets, which typically you put just above the water line. Now, if you had a very high tide, they might become submerged. But typically you mark those with, you know, pilings with navigation aids on them to mark it. Hmm. So I will say at the time 10 years ago, there were some projects that were just being constructed with gabions. I have kind of gotten anecdotal reports back on the performance of some of those. There's some down near Corpus Christi that have been, you know, maybe not terribly great. So I think most likely moving forward would probably look something more like this on the screen, which is a continuous rock breakwater.
Okay.
But again, you know, how high you make that, the amount of protection you provide to those wetlands depends in part on how high you make that. So, but also you need to have some circulation. So the other issue is, okay, how do I get water to circulate through there?
Right.
But I think what I've heard pretty clearly is that not.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was curious though, because that narrow part, and just thinking why we wouldn't want to do some of the other things.
Well, let me ask. So that kind of leads in, maybe jumping ahead a little bit, but in terms of ecological enhancements, it's kind of the blanket term I use here, whether that's wetlands or others. So I very clearly understand that the goal is not to do a wetland. I do want to just throw out, though, that in terms of grant funding, any type of ecological enhancements make the project more attractive to, you know, the various agencies. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you should do that just because it's going to enhance your funding capabilities, but I do feel obliged to make that point that we could potentially look at if there's potential for colonizing, you know, particularly along the toe of a revetment or something, doing something to help that become an oyster reef habitat. That's something we could potentially look at.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I don't think we'd have a problem with that.
That whole waterfront is like got oysters all up and down it right now. The Yotva riprap, great oyster area. In fact, we dumped I don't know how many tons of oyster shells quite a few years ago around the pier to get the oyster bed started, and it seems pretty prolific because we get tied up in them all the
time. Okay. And that's something, you know, that may be a secondary objective of the project, but may, you know, be another box you can check when you're trying to get the grant funding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More attractive.
Yeah. What about grasses and things like that that are on the, we don't know, in the park size?
Yeah.
That would help with erosion and things, wouldn't it? Or different types of?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think, there's some experience around dune plants, you know, aiding with erosion or preventing erosion. To my knowledge, I can't think of much of, you know, plants that grow more on the uplands that are not invasive species.
Right.
Salt cedars actually do wonderful things, but they're an invasive species. So, to my knowledge, there's not. But that's something we can definitely check into with our biologists. See if they're.
It's funny, Mr. Hester, Hester's Nursery, used to say, yes, plant the salt cedars, because they really don't multiply that much when they're on the waterfront. But yeah. They do hold soil pretty well.
They're pretty incredible that way. I've seen them over in Jefferson County on the Gulf Beach where there's nothing, everything's eroded except one salt cedar, you know.
Yeah. He said that was great for residents.
Do they populate the rest of the area? I mean, you said they're invasive.
Yeah.
Like,
they're not native.
They're non-native species. And I know they're considered as an invasive species. I don't know a whole lot about
them. They don't like them.
No. I couldn't tell you the biological reasons, but
I think it's because they spread.
Yeah, they do.
And they take over the native plants. However, on our waterfront, we have some, and they don't go crazy like a Chinese tallow, but it's still questionable. But I wondered if there were other plants that we might be able to incorporate in the design, as long as could also say have some erosion.
Yeah. Are you aware of that? May be something you guys.
Yeah, I think we can come back with some recommendations.
You know, I know these probably spread, but they're two Palaverde trees that we have growing up in the riprap. Mm-hmm. And actually, people use them as shade mm-hmm. when they're sitting down there to fish. And the Palo Verde blooms. I mean, it's not a big tree, and it's very ornamental. I think I like it. We also have a big medjool palm coming up out of the riprap down there.
We had all kinds of stuff brought in that hurricane. We still haven't identified some of them.
We did lose, some of our palms over the years. Some were planted along there.
Yeah.
Some have died.
Lost a lot of palms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how many.
Yeah, they weren't at the shoreline, though. But
they were up on the side. Yeah.
How about
20
of them at one point?
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
It gets awfully hot out there.
3 months out of the year, it's not very comfortable.
Well, that's why I was saying, if there were some little oases along, that might enhance. Mm-hmm. It's pleasing to the eye, too, to look and see something.
Yeah, and that's a good maybe segue into kind of the next topic I wanted to cover was the park in general. So as we step back from the immediate shoreline, what amenities or what thoughts do people have about the park itself? So uses, potential uses, what are the limitations?
Well, I had three residents that really, and even Mr. Stanton used to try to mow a trail right along the walk. They really want some kind of a walking area where right now you really can't walk up next to the, it's just two rip holes in the riprap mm-hmm. and rebar sticking up and stuff, but that would be, from who I talk to, that would be an enhancement that they would like to see.
More of a concrete type walking area?
Granite or anything, I would think.
Just something a little more stable.
Something that would be stable. But, it's really, it's very hazardous to walk
there. Yeah.
You can hurt yourself.
Or like a jogging trail or something like that?
Right.
Along the waterfront,
yes.
Just something that's smooth and has a good even surface and is stable.
Well, that would be part of this project too, though. I mean, after they remove the old riprap and put in whatever they decide to put in, that's all going to be level and all nice and.
Yeah, we can certainly. I mean, we can integrate something like that into the. Now, the question may be, can that be funded simultaneously? Maybe that has to be funded separately under a different grant or. Other funding mechanisms.
But we could plan for it, so it would. Right.
Exactly, and that's kind of what we want to accomplish: is plan for the entire mm-hmm. park, even if we're only able to get the funding to do the shoreline directly under this project, or the design, final design only incorporates that shoreline. At least you have a bit of more of a vision as to what the park as a whole will become over time. So what about towards the north of the fishing pier? So as I understand, that's very narrow and not much use.
It's fished along that area quite a bit, but because the difficulty of parking, it limits the number of people that do fish along there. But yeah, as far as its use as a park goes, it's, yeah, people walk in it.
But, right.
There's
not enough space to do much more than that.
No.
People mostly walk in the
And there's, it, as you go down that way too, there's a lot of really big riprap that it's really hard to kind of navigate. There's certain areas looks like they dump small riprap and you can kind of get down to the water. Mm-hmm. But then there's sections where you just can't hardly get,
you can't get
to the water at all, you know. Just depending on whatever was available when they settled it.
Well, we have what is accurately described as a rubble waterfront, and that's exactly what it is. It's, some of the slabs are 10 by 10 foot, a foot thick, and a lot of them are, 24 inches by 24 inches, and then the smaller ones. It's just all different sizes.
And culvert, pieces
and
of
pieces
culvert.
And pieces of culvert, yeah. So, it's a rubble waterfront, and that's what it's termed, and we want to get away from that. But the idea of a walkway along the top of it sure would be nice, or near the top of it.
And that would help with another problem that we have, because that Miramar is used a lot to go to and from the yacht club and people access, and that would get the pedestrians, they tend to walk up there in the road, and that would get the pedestrians off of the street, which would be a lot safer for the children.
It seems we could design some, solution for the revetment that incorporates, kind of a promenade. People want to be at the water edge.
Right, they want to look over.
Yeah, so, it seems like that condition needs to be safe anyway, and walkable seems to be right in line with that.
And out there at the water's edge is where it's always cooler, too.
Yeah.
If you go down, it gets hot as you go down towards the water, but up there at the top,
there's a breeze,
which makes it nicer.
What you just said, I tell a lot of people that come in to visit me, I said, the roads in Shore Acres are for kids and dogs and cars are tolerated. Drive accordingly. And that's very true on Miramar, because there's always somebody walking along that, and I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And
walking my dog out there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking out loud, but I'm picturing Seabrook and their waterfront, and how there's a lot of people fishing on those. So if we have a nice flat place where people walk, we'll probably also have a lot of people that want to come and fish.
If it's a 30-degree slope, you won't be able to catch the water from the walkway.
You have to go down the river.
You have to go down.
Drag your fish across
because
the
river. It's going to be too far.
Okay. I just pictured
Seabrook.
Because that's a
concrete.
It's a seawall.
It's a seawall.
I mean, you can drop a crab net right off the side of the seawall.
Right.
If we go with that 30-degree revetment, you're a long way from the water.
It's
not that I have that much of a problem with people, but I've walked that Seabrook waterfront a lot, and people leave so much trash even in the trash can. They're overflowing on Sundays.
Well, that's really something we need to be.
That's a mess.
We should all be concerned about, because that one trash can down at Shell Beach does not take a very long weekend to get filled up.
Right.
And we're talking about if we enhance it and make it nicer, we're also talking about the city's going to have to pay, we're going to have more police patrols, we're going to have more trash removal, we're going to have some expenses added to it. Long term, forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Life cycle.
I was looking for that word. I couldn't find it.
Thank you. That since last time. That word. Life cycle cost.
Jerry.
Did the committee ever talk about restrooms at all? Anywhere?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We got enough. Circle Park's got a public restroom. We don't want a public restroom
we should think
on Miramar.
Yeah, but...
Because they're going.
It would be nice. I have enough people using it.
As long as you don't get rid of the oleanders down there, I think Shell Beach, you're okay.
Oh, okay. But they're dying off.
Well, it's probably...
I wonder why.
Uric acid?
Yeah. I mean, Larry, is that... If we wanted to consider a feature like that, would that be part... That would be part of the plan.
That would be part of the plan. That probably would not be part of the engineered, designed, shoreline protection that comes out of this. But it'll be documented in a plan that you can use to, try and go after grant funding. And there are, and James, you guys are probably more aware of these than I am, but there are a lot of grants, specifically more towards parks and public access, et cetera.
Yeah.
Texas Parks and Wildlife has several, et cetera. So there's probably a different set of funding, that will be pursued for that.
I was just going to say, it might be a good idea when you're looking at the plan, at least to have an idea where your recommendations would be the best place should we ever want to go forward with that. At least, have an idea.
I was just thinking about it, we could do something on the low end as cheaply as a porta potty, mm-hmm. but do it like Galveston Seawall, build a structure around it so it doesn't look like a porta potty.
Exactly.
And then, but trust me, we're about to have to go back and repaint the inside of the park of the restrooms at Circle Park because, they're accessible 24/7. And we just had vandals that go in there, and no matter how, there's something on the inside of the ladies' room now that Ray has not been able to get off the wall. We're going to have to repaint the whole inside of the ladies' restroom because they got in there and they put something. It's not paint, and it's not anything that can be taken off without taking the underlying paint with it so far. So, we put a structure out there, a concrete structure out there, then we need to think about the life cycle cost of that.
There's that park in League City that has a composting toilet that's really low maintenance, and it's really not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Dudley Park. Because the maintenance costs.
I think it's a good point, Jerry, that all these people are going to spend some time out there.
Well, we're okay because we can get to our houses within a couple blocks, but I see people walking from everywhere with kids.
Sure.
And, they're stuck out in the middle of nowhere there if they're going fishing or whatever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.